Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
So the Fed's message to the market, higher for longer. The Dow was off 1.9% this week. The S&P, crossed the 4320 mark to be down this week 2.9%. This was the lowest close we've seen since late June. Went past the August low, 4320. I'll get back to that. NASDAQ off 3.6%. The MSCI International off 1.8. 10-year Treasury up 0.1%, closing in at 4.43. Oil down 0.5%, $90, still above 90.34 a barrel. Bonds off 0.5% for the week. So, got a question from Jill in Larkspur. Thank you, Jill. This came out immediately once Fed Powell was on the air asking, you know, talking about rates and where things are going, inflation, all that kind of stuff. So Jill asked me, what does the Fed decision mean for markets? Well, thank you, Jill, for this question. So first of all, this decision, this discussion, their notes, it was hawkish. They didn't undermine the Fed is almost done pillar of the rally we've seen so far, but they did push things out farther. And so because the Fed hiking once more was expected by the market and the decision didn't really result in investors having to price in a materially more hawkish Fed than was expected, that's why we didn't see the market fall apart the way that I was talking about a couple weeks ago. But beyond the short term, make no mistake, the Fed used the statement and the press conference this week to drive home the idea that rates are going to stay higher for longer. And that creates a problem for stocks, because once the Fed signals it's done, that's when the market can start to have some more momentum. But until that time, we're going to continue to suffer higher rates or potentially slower growth. And these could cause just more economic pain. So those environments aren't good for stocks, and that should keep valuations on the market anywhere from 17 to 19 times earnings. What do I mean by that? Well, if we're saying 19 times earnings, $240 a share, that gives us $45.60 on the upside. But like I just said, we just closed at a lower rate. In fact, 43.20 was the number that closed yesterday on Friday. So you're looking at a 17 to 18 times multiple on the S&P, which is much more likely. And so with the Fed meeting behind us now, the next meeting's not until November, there's two primary events that could cause more pullback, another 5 to 10% potentially, and those are the following. First is growth. If the markets believe the Fed's going to be higher for longer, in other words, more rate hike threats, and it's starting to, as you see in the last few days, then worries about a growth slowdown are going to start to rise. And so in the short term, fears of the looming government shutdown and the impact of worsening labor strikes could bring that growth stare to light sooner than expected. And so if that happens, just expect another 5% pullback. The second is that we have bounce back inflation. So if the Fed suddenly signals it could hike rates more than once, then guess what? That's going to send yields higher, and that's going to definitely weigh on stocks, as we've seen lately, because as the 10-year and the 2-year treasuries have been rising, this is causing money to move out of equities and start to go into bonds where you can get over 5%. And last, the Fed may be done or almost done with rate hikes, but that's when the real danger begins for stocks. And so we're looking on ways to navigate through that because we're looking at some other things right now. So the next thing that we need to talk about are the key levels. And what do I mean by key levels? Well, that's what we're talking about. This next question about the government shutdown or the labor strikes. What does that mean? So the question is, could the oncoming and the ongoing strikes and the looming government shutdown, could this be the catalyst that knocks the canary out of the coal mine and then we got a big problem? So there is definitely the possibility of a government shutdown on October 1st, and there will be potentially economic damage from strikes across many industries. So that makes the outlook for stocks right now more negative. And that's why you're seeing the market start to fall apart. And a lot of people have been asking the question, is this the time to be getting out? Well, here, let me just put it simply before you get all excited. I don't think they do exactly. And here's what I mean by that. So in the short term, and again, I'm speaking just about the market. I'm not getting into politics here because I know there's issues on both sides and I'm not going there. I'm just talking about markets. So let's talk about the government shutdown. You've likely read or heard on the media, because I've seen it all over the place this past week, that the government is headed for a shutdown on October 1st. And unless Congress can pass a new continuing resolution and President Biden can sign it, we've got a problem. At this point, I think it's unlikely to happen. And I'll tell you why. First, because the Republicans in the House haven't agreed amongst themselves on a spending plan that they can pass internally. And even when they do, which should happen in the next few days, that plan likely has no chance of getting through the Senate. Instead, the plan will mark the start of negotiations over a continuing resolution that ultimately will pass. But even at an accelerated pace right now, it's unlikely to occur before October 1st. So I think the government's likely to shut down. And why that may be ominous and scary, like the dozens of other government shutdowns before it, it won't have a material impact on the economy or the market. And here's why. First, the government doesn't shut down. Only parts of the government shut down. And none of them are essential, meaning the military still gets paid, Social Security and Medicare still operate, etc. Second, some federal workers will be furloughed, and they will not get paid during the shutdown. However, they will get all the money they should have been paid via back pay once the government reopens. Third, government shutdown don't last that long. The most recent one, which occurred, you may remember, in 2018 under President Trump, lasted 35 days. And that was the longest shutdown ever. The next longest shutdown, well, that was under Clinton. It was 21 days. And after that, it was Jimmy Carter. Oh, it was Jimmy Carter, remember? 17 days. Here's my point. Shutdowns don't impact enough people or last long enough to have a lasting macroeconomic impact, although they're disruptive. So let's not worry about that. Let's turn to the various strikes occurring across the country. We currently have right now three larger scale strikes ongoing across the country. Two are centered on the entertainment industry, as both the Writers Guild and the SAG-AFTRA are on strike and have been for weeks. The third strike is in the automotive industry, as we keep hearing about. And while strikes are disruptive to economic data, because there's less cars produced, less motion pictures, etc., and the longer the strikes go on, that's going to impact economic reports like the Industrial Production Report, PMI we like to look at, and GDP. The longer they go on, the more of a headwind this creates on the economy as striking employees rein in spending, layoffs increase, and economic production is limited. And so while that will affect headlines, I don't think that the UAW was the force that it used to be. Because remember, UAW membership was 383,000 in 2022. Back in 1979, it was at 1.5 million, and the labor pool was much, much smaller than it is today. So only about 13,000 of those workers are on strike. And so bottom line, while it certainly is great for news, I don't think it's going to affect economic growth that much. And so I don't think it's a big deal. All right. Like I said, we've been looking at these key levels. And I talked about this where if the market went below 44.35, we were headed for more downside. This is just technical, by the way. So Friday, it closed S&P 500 at 43.20, violated the 100-day moving average. Next stop, 42.84. All right. So you can write that down. You can read about it. And so if you're looking at stocks right now, over time, you may want to look at cyclicals like industrials, materials, small cap, international, dollar cost average, of course, and in bonds, the short duration cash, be careful, because those interest rates of 5% could be harmful to you as the Fed starts to pivot. Because I've seen more attractive opportunities forming out there, longer duration investment grades. And that's where I'd be looking right now if I were you.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed is not considered your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.